Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today, as you may have noticed by the title, we are joined once again by Benny for another By the Numbers. Benny, welcome back.
Chubo lives.
No.
Well, Benny, it was great having you on.
Benny, it's been a fun run.
See you never.
That was the line. That's where we draw the line. So we discussed last week, which has not aired yet, so you didn't hear it. I told you on via message that we have some restructuring of our personal Ranger rankings to do, and we thought it would be good to have a neutral third party here help out with that.
Like a mediator. Probably so you two can gang up on me about how Astronema doesn't count, only Corone as a Pink Ranger should.
I would never gang up. That's a Yoop thing. Why would I ever take that side?
But the opposite. You're trying to convince me that's wrong.
Okay, I see. Well, look, we're going to see where it falls. So, Benny, I'm going to let you decide when you want to do that part. I don't know if that would be good for up front, or if you have like a thing later that would work for, or what.
So it's going to talk about the Ninja Storm Rangers as well?
Yes.
Okay, then
yeah,
we
basically should... What happened is we were ranking the Ninja Storm Rangers in with all the other ones, and we were like, man, Billy's really low. We were just mean to him that day. So we want to maybe move some people around, yeah. And that would also shift, I think, where the Ninja Rangers fall.
Yeah, I've given you editing permissions, but I trust you to not use or abuse this power.
Oh, boy. Can't wait to see what they are at the end of next season when Benny redoes the whole list.
This is clearly wrong. It's,
like, yeah, because we had to compromise on this one.
Some of it is clearly right.
Some of it's pretty right. I think the top two are, if not correct, then as close as you can get. But so when do you want to do that?
So that we should do after I go through the Ranger rankings for Ninja Storm, because then we'll have context for kind of where I'm coming from with my perspective on them.
Sweet.
Okay. Then I guess we'll go ahead and get started with the season rankings.
Yes.
Which you all actually talked about. I can't remember if it was in the very last episode of the regular season or if you started talking about it in the Q&A. But you all had a conversation about where you thought Ninja Storm would possibly land in, like, your rankings of seasons.
Yeah, I think that was in the Q&A. Somebody asked us where we thought they would land, and I was like, we're going to let Benny tell us, because even though that list, it's so funny, like, the best part about this insane, frankly, project that you have undertaken is that it's wild to be like, here's what I think about the show. And I did the show. I was there for every episode. So, like, I don't remember perfectly, but I, you know. But I'm like, in my heart, I know where certain things go. And you're like, no, this is where you said it went. And, like, you're wrong about yourself now.
Well, you're not wrong. It's just different evaluations. So when we as individuals stop and think about a season of Power Rangers, we take the whole season together as one and are probably heavily influenced by the end of the season or by a particular character that we really like or a particular, you know, story arc that happens. And so that gives us a gut instinct of where the season would rank. What I have done, for any listener who hasn't heard it before, is taken individual episodes. So I listen to Jake and Josh's reaction to an episode, and I give it either bad, okay, good, or amazing, and then give that a point, and then total up all of those points and divide it by how many episodes were in that season. So, you know, early seasons don't overpower with just the fact that they have, you know, 60 episodes versus 38.
Yeah, which we didn't... You weren't doing this until Zio, so those ones are, like, the first three seasons are a little fuzzy, because you've gone through and done, that for the season rankings, right, if I'm remembering correctly?
This is the only part of what I'm going to talk about that actually includes Mighty Morphin.
Okay, gotcha.
So yeah, like, there's going to be differences in this Ranger ranking, or in the season ranking, because it's about stacking up individual episodes as you watch through a season versus, like, your feelings after the season is completed.
Yeah.
But when you all were talking in the Q&A, you were talking about Ninja Storm compared to a couple of other episodes, and you talked about Time Force, Mighty Morphin Season 1, In Space, and Zeo all being in your top five, which is correct. All of those were in the top five. So in the order that I said, Time Force 1, Lightspeed Rescue is number 2, which you all didn't mention that one.
I don't know how. I love Lightspeed. Lightspeed was very good.
I have some of the fondest memories of watching Lightspeed.
Yeah. I feel like Lightspeed Rescue is this, like, just sleep, like, the season that people sleep on for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But it was number 2. Mighty Morphin was 3, In Space, and then Zeo. And you talked about Ninja Storm being in the top 5. And that is actually what happened. Ninja Storm bumped Zeo out of the top 5. And so it is now number 5, right behind In Space. I had to go to the 3rd decimal point.
Oh, jeez.
Because if you round it, both In Space and Ninja Storm ended up with 0.74 per episode. But then In Space is actually 0.744 versus Ninja Storm's 0.736.
Okay, this the infinitesimal amount better. This is the cold hard math of Power Rangers, everyone.
So yeah, so Ninja Storm ends up in the top 5 behind In Space, which that makes sense to me. Whether it actually is better than Zeo or not, I don't know. But that's how the cold math
fell out. Ask me again at the end of next season, because right now I'm going to be like, no, it's not.
Again, that's why I talked about the end of a season probably heavily influences. And also, what season did you see last? Like, my top favorites are Jungle Fury and Dino Charge. And typically, whichever one is my favorite is usually whichever one I saw most recently.
Okay. That makes sense. Because, like, recency bias is, like, a thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, and I don't know if anyone's been paying close attention to our show. Here's a little hidden secret about the Morphin Grid is we don't remember things between episodes. We are so dumb. We had a week and a half, 2 week break between the two parts of the finale. And I completely forgot everything that we talked about during the first part of the finale, like entirely, until I was editing it. And I was like, this is indicative of the show, is that we are little goldfish talking about Power Rangers.
That's goldfish slander. But anyways, so you all have your episode rankings, and then I do an episode rating, and then those don't always match. And it's weird to look at it. Especially in a season that's so full of multi-parters, because I rate them by individual episode, but you rank them by a parter. And like the second episode in the season, there's no I in team or 2 foot on the ground.
Yeah.
I thought it was an okay episode, but it's towards the bottom. It's technically 3rd from the bottom. And then the very bottom one, Boxing Bopperoo, or Foxy Boxing Yosemite Sam. I called both of those okay episodes from your reactions. Like, you didn't really like them, but they weren't terrible episodes, but you ranked them basically at the bottom of the list. And I thought that was interesting. But for the most part, it fell like and then above that are some bad episodes, and then okay episodes, and then a giant chunk of good episodes. The 3 amazing episodes are up at the top. Down and Dirty, which is the second to last episode before the finale.
Yeah.
I really thought this was the reaction was an okay episode, but you all have it ranked as number 3. And I think that's just because of how
conflicted.
Yeah, I think it's just because of how conflicted you all were about Mara and Capri. And just all of these amazing storyline ideas that suddenly popped up at the end and weren't treated very well. And like, you did not like that episode, even though the general idea was really good and ended up in the top 3.
Yeah.
For those wondering, the other amazing episodes were all about Beevil, The Wild Wipeout, and Beauty and the Beach. Which there's a theme there.
Those are some good ones.
Is that... Oh yeah, so those three, those are all the amazing ones. This was overwhelmingly good, though.
There's a lot of good,
which is typical. That's very normal.
I guess I've never really looked at it before.
I mentioned before, I try to go positive. So if it's between good and okay, I'm going to lean towards okay. I'm going to lean towards good. You'll have to be really ambivalent for me to put something as okay.
I'm looking at the list, and it does not seem to be in the order of the... Oh, it's okay. I see what's going on. Sorry,
ranking order.
It's in ranking order, not in episode order. Okay, that makes sense. All right.
My favorite thing is that free butt rock mp3s.com is a clickable link in here.
It's hyperlinked.
I can make no promises to what happens if you click that.
I'm not going to click on it right now. I don't need free butt rock to start blasting through the podcast.
Start blaring, yeah. I mean, it is free, so we wouldn't get caught on the royalties. That's the best part about freebuttrockmp3s.com.
And listener, if you're curious, you too can look at Morphin Grid by the numbers. You could ask me, but also if you are a part of the Patreon, you can go to a pinned link in the Morphin Grid channel, and it's there, and you can peruse.
Heck yeah.
I always have to plug the Patreon at this point.
I appreciate it. I feel like we can do it. We are allowed to do it once an episode. Everyone else is free reign. You know, no rules for the guests. So yeah.
I don't make any money off of it.
Yeah, right. I mean, we really don't make a ton. I mean, we make a lot comparatively, but seeing as it is half of my income, it could be more. I'm just saying, it could be more. Anything else about the season ranking while we're here?
No, that's about all I've got to say. Ninja Storm is our new number 5. We have a top 10 at this point.
We do.
Poor Turbo is number 11.
That sucks. Turbo, I feel like, should be at least higher than Wild Force.
Again.
No, I think the bottom two should be Wild Force and Lost Galaxy.
Yeah, I agree.
I do think Turbo should probably be higher than them, but I know I was also a big diaper baby through all of Turbo. So.
Especially the first half. That first half is bad a lot of the time.
Part of it might be you didn't know how bad Power Rangers could get before, so when Power Rangers finally started getting bad in Turbo, you got really upset about it. Again... I remind you, in Turbo, you all threatened to do Yorkie Cast a lot.
That's true.
It's that individual episode versus the entirety of a season. And so for Turbo, there were a lot of individual episodes that were just bad. Even though the total season complete, you know, the ending is amazing in Turbo, and that bumps it up above Wild Force and Lost Galaxy, but that was not the way that I did my calculations.
Right, right.
All right, so moving on to the categories. So for new listeners, what I do is when the boys and their guests give the best, the worst, I give that a category. And a new thing that I'm doing, because I am insane and this project continues to get larger.
It keeps getting bigger and more intricate every season, it seems.
Is that now the MVPs are also categorized.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So.
Oh, yep. Look at that. There's a whole new section over here, huh?
And they are different. So for best and worst, our categories are Ranger, Villain, Support, Battle, Interaction, Story, and Production. For MVP, our categories are Ranger, Villain, Support, then Actor, Production, and Object.
Okay.
I'm so curious what objects these are.
Mostly hats, a lot of hair, I think a jacket or two.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I could see that. There's a lot of good hair in Power Rangers.
And there might be a little bit of crossover. I think TJ's abs got an MVP, but I just gave that. That's oh, a that Ranger.
That explains the four in Turbo, I think, actually. Yeah.
I think I actually just gave that to TJ, so that still counted as a Ranger, even though it's kind okay. of like object, sort of, whatever. So I then went back through all of the other seasons and gave them categories and calculated them up as well.
Again, you did this to yourself. This is not our doing. Yes. This is on you.
There's a reason, and we'll get to it in a little bit later. But looking okay. at the MVP categories with eight seasons at this point, there's a very clear – is it seven or eight? I don't even remember. There's a very clear pattern that we see, which is the Ranger is always highest. You always give more MVPs to Rangers than any other category, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Then for – All seasons but Zio, second and third place is either the villain or the support character.
Okay.
So our villain seasons, where villains are second place, is In Space, Lost Galaxy, and Wild Force. Our support seasons are Zio and Lightspeed Rescue. And then the seasons where they're like, maybe you gave one more to the villain or one more to the support characters was Turbo, Time Force, and Ninja Storm, which I'll get to. Which I really like, because if you look at the Ranger High personalities that I gave all of these seasons, it still yeah. fits.
Okay. I'm excited to figure out what kind of weird kid Ninja Storm is. I'm excited.
And then actor is normally a lower scoring season. It's or category. It's normally like the fourth highest, but it'll kind of, it just depends on which season. However, this season, Zio, actors, you gave MVP 11 times, which made them the third like highest category for that season.
Okay.
So it's the only one that breaks the pattern so far. And then gotcha. Production and object are infrequent. You don't always give one to somebody on production or to an object. And the highest you've ever done in one season is four.
Okay.
And Turbo and
was that Wild Force that looks like?
I think there are three seasons where it gets up to four, but it never gets above four. Turbo is the only season that has both production and objects getting a best.
Okay.
So just weird, fascinating things that fall out when you give categories to stuff.
Once we finish, you can probably publish this and get a doctorate on it. This is weird. It's going to be a long study. That's for sure.
I guess I could get like a literary like doctorate.
Oh, I was thinking of like a psychology, trying to figure out what's going on in our brains when we decide that, like, yes, this hair is the best thing about this episode of Power Rangers.
I mean, honestly, it'd be like an honorary doctorate in some like made up category or whatever.
I mean, look, it's more honorary doctorates than I'm going to have. So, you know,
well, then you can start a talk show as Dr. Benny.
Yeah, right. You have exactly the same amount of qualifications as Dr. Phil, because he is not a doctor. I want everyone to know. Oh. That guy's license was revoked because he slept with a patient. He's a bad dude.
Okay. on that note. No, not on that note. Never mind. Scratch that.
On a different note.
On a different note. So the fun thing that I've done with all of these categories is created a fictional high school and filled up a homeroom class with anthropomorphized Power Rangers seasons.
Yes.
Currently in our class is Zio, the social butterfly. Pronouns are, I believe, they, them. Turbo is our awkward doodler, also they, them pronouns. In Space has she, her pronouns, or they, them. That is our evil loner poet. Lost Galaxy.
Evil loner poet.
Lost Galaxy is our big punchy boy. Lightspeed is our very good scout. Both of them are he, him. Time Force is our earnest, forceful lady, she, her pronouns. Wild Force, do you all remember what Wild Force was? That's our newest.
Is Wild Force the weird, smelly kid who...
Look, we got plenty of time to get a weird smelly kid in here. I don't think Wild Force.
Who wears big sweatshirts year-round and sits in the back of the class?
I don't know about his smell, but...
I just imagine Cole probably smells pretty bad.
He's got... Probably. You know Cole's got a stink to him.
Yeah, they had to explain to him what deodorant was, I'm sure.
He always wears the same ripped shirt.
Wild Force was our notorious truant bad boy.
Okay.
And now, introducing Ninja Storm.
Ninja Storm is gonna be, let me guess.
Okay.
Like a skater boy or girl. Like an Avril Lavigne type.
Any guesses, Jake?
I was just gonna say a surfer they, but I don't know if an Avril Lavigne type is pretty on the nose of what I feel, but that's maybe just because Avril Lavigne's hit song Skater Boy did come out in 2002 or 3, which is when, you know, this is a very Avril Lavigne season. It's complicated, is what I'm saying.
Yes. So, Ninja Storm has the pronouns they, them, or he, him, and I... Don't ask me why that's their pronouns. It's between them and their creator, and none of us are talking.
You know.
Is the even-tempered goober with a shy heart of gold.
Okay, they're getting more intricate.
Well, I normally have a really long description at the first time I introduced them, and then I, you know, shortened it down. So,
right. Tell us about them.
Okay, so Ninja Storm, they're not really the best at anything, but they do a lot of stuff. Like, they're really goofy, but they're not the funniest person in the class. They're very artsy, but they're not the most creative person. They are friends with absolutely everybody in this classroom. Everybody is friends with Ninja Storm, but not a single person in this class would call them their best friend. English is not actually their first language, and they're still a little bit shaky on it. I think Ninja Storm is originally from Japan and transferred here like 2, maybe 3 years ago, like probably maybe like a year ago, and like they're still like they're still learning English. It's fine. Shout outs to everybody that's bilingual.
I'm still learning English, it feels like. So like God bless you if you can do more than one language.
But the thing about Ninja Storm is if you really genuinely get to know them and have a truly personal moment with them, you will realize that they have this deeply pure and wonderful soul, and they just absolutely believe in the best for everybody. This is a very complicated person, but you don't realize that on just first seeing them.
And they wear neckties with tank tops.
Well, yeah.
Probably.
Obviously. And big, big pants.
JNCOs.
JNCOs, baby. I love them. I don't want to protect them. I don't want to see them grow up and be big and strong.
That's good. Yeah. They're all good kids at the end of the day.
All good kids. Lost Galaxy is a kid, you know. Like, there's some good in there.
It's a good kid. Maybe a little misguided, but still a good kid.
Yeah, I mean, he will beat somebody up for his friend.
Yes. Yeah. Man, this classroom's going to get so, so big and weird.
Yes. Yeah, this is not one of those schools where, like, they have an appropriate ratio of teacher to students. This is going to be a huge classroom.
Yeah. And then eventually we will have to circle back around and so the triplets can show up because they're late. They didn't call out yet. They're the last ones to show up probably.
All right. So why in the world did I describe Ninja Storm this way?
Yes, please.
So looking at the best within the season, it's pretty even. Production was the only one that only got one best. And then everything else falls in a narrow range of 6 bests or 10 bests.
Okay.
With Ranger being the highest, as usual, but it's actually tied with interaction, which most of those interactions are with a Ranger, so makes sense.
Sure.
Then villain and story are after that, then support, then battle, I believe got six bests.
Yeah.
So it was all very, very close together compared to other seasons where there's, you know, a huge spread.
Yeah, these are all, like, really close to each other compared to everything else. Because, like, I'm looking at, like, you know, Time Force with 29 Ranger bests, and it only had two more episodes than Ninja Storm. So, like, that's a lot.
Yeah. And so, yeah, then looking at it compared to other seasons, this was a really low season. And part of that, like, the number of bests that each category got was really low, which makes sense because they're far more evenly spread out.
Yeah.
But a particular note is the fact that Rangers were only got the best 10 times, which is way lower than I would have expected. Wild Force got 15 times.
Right.
So that was like a huge thing that stood out to me.
I think that's explainable by the fact that, like, is it like on all the Rangers are like around the same amount? Like, cause like if you look at, for example, Wild Force, there's one good Ranger and one pretty all right Ranger, and then three middling to bad Rangers, you know, or four, I guess. So it's easier to be like, well, Taylor stood out more than anybody else, so like clearly that's where I'm gonna throw my best on to her. But like with this, it's like everybody's good. Like even Hunter, who like started off pretty rough, like definitely came around by the end. And so it's like when everyone's like equal, you're like, well, now I can look around and see what else is going on for the best instead of just being like, oh, it's Taylor, it was, you know, clearly.
Yeah.
So I think that's how that's explained. That is very interesting, though, that the better the season is, you know, the actors and characters are. Weird.
Yeah, and then the other big thing of note for this was the number of interactions, that it ties with Time Force for having 10 interactions, which is the second highest for any season. Which, again, yeah. You had a lot of really good Rangers and actors, and so they interacted with each other, and they got a lot of bests. And I think even the villains got a couple of interactions as well.
Yeah, definitely think so.
So then looking at the worst within the season, this is totally opposite. It's extremely lopsided. Story, well and above story, is had the most worst. It was 43% of the time, which is, I think, one of the highest.
It is the highest.
It's the highest percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the highest.
It's tied for highest number, too, looking at it.
Yeah, it's tied for highest number 24 times, and then the percentage, it is absolutely the highest number of worst, and then followed by villains, which makes sense to me, which is 16 times, which is 29%, and then Rangers is actually very low. Rangers is the lowest, so the Rangers didn't get a lot of best, didn't get a lot of worse, and then with support... and then battle and production got like 2 and 1 mentions of worst. So this was extremely lopsided towards story, followed by villain, and then everything else just kind of fell down after that.
Yeah, that's wild.
So yeah, and then looking at the other seasons, the fact that villain and story are extremely high, I think they tie against Lightspeed Rescue's villain worst and Lost Galaxy's story worst, and then Ranger is lowest.
Okay.
So looking at all of this, and I was trying to form the idea of what is Ninja Storm? Does this mesh with what I know about the season? And I was like, no, there's something missing here. Ninja Storm, like the Rangers in Ninja Storm are way better than this. What is going on? There's something wrong with my numbers. And so I looked at my spreadsheet and looked through it, and I realized it was the MVPs. And so I had to create the categories for the MVPs.
So that's what led to it. That makes sense.
So I had to figure out what was going on, and I realized it was where Ninja Storm did extremely well for the Rangers was the MVPs. The Rangers got MVP 36 times in this season, and there were only 55 MVPs.
Okay.
So that's 65% of the time, the Rangers got MVP, which is the highest, or which is
second highest percentage.
Second highest percentage, and also second highest actual number of MVPs.
So this is crazy, because looking at the thing here, the percentage is lower than it was in Time Force, but the number is one higher.
There's only two more episodes, so that's got to be just some sort of quirk of math that.
Yeah, and then the number, crazy enough, the number that's higher than it, because this one was 36 Ranger MVPs. The one that got 38 was actually Turbo.
Look, which Kat and Adam tells you and TJ.
I don't think Kat got a lot of best though, because that was Mom Kat.
No. Oh no, but that was MVPs. So like sometimes I can justify like who did the like MVP is the good thing about not having a rubric of any kind is that it can mean anything.
It's just whatever you feel.
It's just whatever we're feeling, man. So like sometimes I could be like, yeah, I think Kat was the MVP, even if she didn't necessarily do the best. And I think that's how that worked out. Also, once you hit the second half, like you got your TJs and your
right.
and your Cassies and your Ashleys.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think I do think I am like the number one Ashley fan on the planet, at least mathematically speaking, except for maybe Tracy Lynn Cruz, who makes her money because she was Ashley. But yeah, that is very interesting to see that. Like, now I'm wondering, like, how do we, like, in the moment, how do we decide, like, which is which, you know, like how do we pick when you're a best or you're an MVP?
I would love to know.
I think it was this season. I noticed MVP was like really wishy-washy, and a lot of the time I try to be like in the kayfabe of the episode who helped the most,
yeah.
Or like whatever the result of the episode was, like who got it there. But other times I'll be like, this episode sucked, and so like Dustin got it because he was the funniest.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely, like, last season I was like, it's Amapomic. That's the guy that wrote these standout episodes. So, like, that's the MVP. There's no objects for this season, so I guess I didn't MVP Tori's hair?
No, I think you bested her hair
I definitely have bested Tori's hair. She had some good hair this season.
Yeah, this was definitely a season where I feel like there were a couple of times I was just like, sitting there waiting for you all to finally say an MVP so I could type it into the database, and just kind of having to sit and wait while you like struggled and flip-flopped. I think there were times when like you just had no idea who the MVP was, and so you always go towards the Rangers, with a few exceptions where you might go towards, you know, Astronema or someone.
Right.
So yeah. And then by doing that, It fit the general impression of Ninja Storm that I had, which was that you have a lot of really fun characters and actors in a situation where the writers clearly didn't know what to actually do with them, or had a bunch of ideas and just did not implement them correctly.
Yeah, or maybe hid some really cool plot lines so deep even they didn't even know about it until the third to last episode, for example.
Yeah. I think the biggest example of just how weird the writing got was Shane's Karma, because
those are some weird episodes.
Because it could have been three separate stories, because you had the whole thing with Shane. Then you had the storyline with Tori's birthday coupled with Mara and Capri's 6.5 year, you know, school reunion, and then throwaway joke with Dustin's like tanning oil that honestly you could have built up into an actual episode. It probably wouldn't have been as good, but like,
yeah, but
it was just these two extra scenes in an episode that was already crammed, or two episodes that was already crammed full of story stuff, and it was just like, no, you could have separated this out and not had an episode where, like, I'm trying to think, where like Blake gets a weapon that he never uses in any other episode.
Gosh, that was weird. There's a lot. I'm looking. I just had to Google really quick. There are 51 episodes of Hurricanger. Because I was trying to, I was just like, because you mentioned Shane's Karma, a two part episode that had five stories in it. Because this is also like because the like they dovetail pretty nicely, but like the Vexicus hunting Lara Croft. What was her name? Skyla.
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 Skyla. So like
him hunting her feels like that could have been like more or less depending on what they want to do, but then that like goes right into like, oh, Vexicus is like someone who's been a thorn in Lothor's side for who knows how long, right? So like those are also, those could be two different things too. So it's like, was there a lot of multi-parters in Hurricanger? Because I know the Sentai doesn't tend to do as many multi-parters, or they'll do like a cliffhanger, but it'll be like the story will be tighter just by the nature that like it's the storytelling is usually tighter in Sentais, at least from what I know from listening to Super Sentai Brothers. I've only watched a couple seasons myself, but I mean generally the impression I get is that they're at least pretty focused on like when you do a multi-parter, you gotta mean it, so like it has to make sense. Whereas this time they're like, yeah, do 15 multi-parters. Let's do a four-parter. No, the fourth part doesn't matter for the rest of the story, but put it in there anyway. Like, so it's like, why did, like, was there a lot? And no, there was 51 episodes. There were plenty of opportunities they could have been like, let's just take this monster from this other one-off episode instead of like, we got to use the snail four times or whatever the hell, you know?
I think it would be genuinely fun to take a Super Sentai series that hasn't been adapted, and then to get a group of people to represent the idea that these seasons are written by multiple people.
Yeah.
And then to create the season that way, and to get a better idea of how bonkers it must be to try to write a TV series when you have multiple people going off and writing an episode and then coming back together. And I guess not having somebody being, you know, a script keeper. I don't remember that title position.
I think it's the script keeper.
The script keeper. I love his game show that only had one episode. I mean, this is the thing that I learned most about in my time thinking maybe that would be my job at some point before LA was like, we're good. No, thanks. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna go home then. The writer's room is everybody who is a writer on staff are there, and they are just like, you know, pitching ideas and breaking the episode. And then once they have it all down, you have like a writer's assistant who is the one keeping notes and like keeping the, you know, the flow chart or however you break the episode. And they give that like outline to one person, and then like they go write it, and then typically that you won't miss too much of breaking another episode doing that, because then you don't run into like, well, I put this thing in the script and they're like, well, I didn't see that because I was breaking the episode, so when I wrote the script for the next one I hadn't read the, you know, so they try to avoid that. But yeah, having a bunch of people and just trying to like figure out a season of Power Rangers would be pretty fun. I feel like it would be like an undertaking though.
Yes. I mean, I love when people talk about like, oh, I have this great idea for adapting, you know, a season, and like this is what I would do. And I'm like, that's really cool. But that's not the way it would actually happen. What would happen you would come with that idea and then sit down with a whole group of people, and then as a collective, you would have to decide. It's like with like comic books and how wacky comic books get, because it's this collective storytelling specifically for comic books, depending on the series across, you know, decades. And I'm specifically talking about like Marvel and DC.
Right. Like, yeah. Big two, where it's like, here is my idea run by three different editors. And then like they figure out that. And then like, once it gets to the artist, it's like, well, now it's, you know, the artist is mostly going to be the one to put the final things on the page because they have to do the real work now. Typically, at least with like TV shows, there is one person in charge of everybody else. You know, there's at least a head writer or a showrunner or whatever. And they're the ones who get to like make the final decision. So it's not just like, it's not just this like pandemonium of people throwing ideas out. And then in the case of Power Rangers, you have someone like, I'm just going to make up a name, Jonathan Zacher, who will come in and ruin every idea that you can come up with and then fire people all the time for no reason. And then try to make it more like the Sentai, which is not, I think, how Power Rangers became the big hit that it is, because adaptation, I think, is better than translation. And Jonathan Zacher didn't. And that's why there's a lot of bum stuff when he gets in charge. Now I'm going to step off my soapbox so we can go back to talk about numbers.
I mean, the next thing I've got is Ranger ranking, unless you all have anything else you want to say about just Ninja Storm as a whole.
No, I do have a question about a tab that you have on the bottom. There's one that says JVJ, and I would like to know why what we are being pitted against each other for.
So that is, I finally distinguish between when one of you gives the best and one of you gives the worst.
Okay.
Oh no, I probably have to go back and also figure out for MVPs as well.
Next season. One thing at a time.
But yeah, that's the problem, is I just don't have the energy to go back and listen to the episode in order to figure out who said what.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So I'm just not going back. So I think I only have three seasons at this point, and it's not enough to say anything. So there'll be future by the numbers where we'll come back to that tab.
Okay, gotcha. No, I think we can get to Ranger rankings. Is that on the Ninja Storm tab?
Yeah, it'd be on the Ninja Storm tab. I think I have it all whited out so you can't see the numbers in there.
Okay, all right, good. So it's a surprise.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
unless we can do math really quickly.
I mean, you can glance through the list and get a general impression of how many times somebody got like numbers or whatever. And also for this list, none of it is a surprise. Like, straight up, this is probably what I would have guessed if I had to at the beginning of the season write down. So yeah, like, there's no surprises, I don't think. So the way the Ranger rankings work, if you're new here, is that I take the best, the worst.
Welcome to the podcast.
Get out.
You know, like 30 minutes into this episode, welcome.
You're like Pavlovian at this point.
So, best gets you 1 point, worst gets you -1 point, MVP gets you 2 points. And then we total it all up, and we get a ranking from that. I do have a couple of honorable mentions. For only getting a single best was Flirty Hologram Tor.
Oh, my fave. Love Flirty Hologram Tori.
Only getting an MVP was Skyla and Miko.
Okay.
And then getting both in the only episode in which she appeared in was Evil Tor.
I loved Evil Tor.
And I did separate out all of those different versions of Tori because I thought it was funny.
Tor. Oh, she was great.
So what we are left with is 6 Rangers, 5 support characters, and 7 villains.
Okay.
All the way at the bottom, with -4 points, is the Monsters of the Week as a collective and Chubo, who lives.
Yeah, suck it, Chubo.
Then jumping up to 0 points, but still having actually gotten something. There's a couple of people who just never got a best or worst or an MVP whatsoever.
Okay.
But Sensei, Kanoi, and the Zords got 0 points at the end of it.
Okay. They evened out. They broke even.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Sensei didn't really do a lot. And if he did something in an episode, typically somebody else probably did something better.
Right.
Then with 1 point is Motodrome and Cybercam.
Okay.
Who again is separated out from Cam.
Yeah. He is a separate entity. Yeah. He is much cooler, I would say, at least as far as if you asked him. I don't know if you'd ask anybody else, but.
Then jumping to 5 points is Capri. Followed with 6 points is the one-off characters as a collective. Then Mara gets 7 points, so they're all back-to-back right there. And again, kind of fell the way I thought Capri and Mara would go.
That is kind of low for Mara, I feel, but I mean the numbers don't lie.
I think for her it's that there was a lot of time that she either didn't do anything or her character was just wildly different, and that was very frustrating.
That is true. That there was a lot of unevenness.
She went from like doing her nails and fighting ninjas to being actually stupid over the course of a single episode.
Literally being like, "How do you spell big?" Like that's not a joke that I'm making up. That is, they wrote that down in the show and it made it onto the broadcast. And you can watch it if you have Netflix or the DVDs.
And you like, should
it's there. And you should. But. Yeah, I guess that makes sense that she would be down that low, and that's not entirely her fault, but it is on her, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I'll say that the two of them got an MVP together like a couple of times where you just kind of lumped them together as a single unit, and they got that MVP. They didn't have to share the points. They both got 2 points, but just that was an interesting thing that doesn't normally happen, even when you have duos. They usually get MVPs separately. I think Bulk and Skull got them together like once or twice.
Okay.
All right. So finally getting into the Rangers. Ranked together at fifth is Hunter and Cam with 8 points.
Okay.
And I guess I can go ahead and talk about it. That is kind of a big deal that the lowest ranked Rangers got 8 points.
Is that because that's still a lot?
That's still a lot. I went back through just glancing at the other seasons. The absolute lowest ranked Ranger in all of the other seasons got -2, -0, -1, or 1 point.
Dang.
Now, taking it out your extra Rangers and only counting your extra Rangers and your guest Rangers and only counting the main team and the sixth Ranger, then your lowest is 2, 4, -1, 0, 6, which was Tanya from Turbo, and then 1.
Okay.
So like comparing the main core team, the lowest was 6 and this was 8. So that was still way above. I mean, I say way above, but not really.
Relatively, though.
Yeah. So, like, this was a season where, like, you only had the six Rangers and they all did, you know, extremely well.
Yeah, the kids are good.
I am a little surprised that Cam is tied for the bottom spot out of the Rangers, but I guess it makes sense because he wasn't a Ranger until about halfway through, and he did, for a little while, have sixth Ranger-itis.
Yeah, I think we worsted him, like, his sixth Ranger-itis enough times that it probably even. And also, like, before he was a Ranger, he was just, like, a guy. Because, I mean, those points obviously still count, like, you know,
right,
if he got any. Right. But, like, he would just be not there sometimes, you know, like, because he wasn't a Power Ranger. So, like, if anyone could not be in an episode, it would be the computer guy. So, like, he would have, like, a lot less to do than everybody else before he was a Ranger. So, I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it fell out for him, was that he wasn't always prominent.
It doesn't match my feelings, you know?
See, that's the thing about the numbers, is that they don't care about your feelings.
Well, and the thing that isn't captured in this is that Cam might have been the second best thing in the episode. But,
yeah, in every episode, but that doesn't count. That's right. Not the point.
The problem is it's only the best or nothing at all. So, like,
yeah.
Well, what we'll have to do next season when we do the best is we'll have to break each episode down into each category and rank every individual part of the episode on a scale from like 1 to 10 or whatever.
I feel like that would be the end of By the Numbers.
I just call your bluff. Yeah, go ahead and do it.
Do it, coward. Pull out a calculator, you idiots.
No, I want the show to still be fun to do. Yeah.
That's why I do the numbers, because this is genuinely fun to me.
Oh, good. I'm glad. All right, so after, and Hunter, you know, tying for bottom, I feel like if anybody's going to be tied for worst Ranger, it's going to be Hunter, even though, again, at 8 points, that's, like, very impressive. you know, because Leo was a negative, I think, right? Was that the negative two?
Yeah, I think he was one of the negatives.
Yeah, because that guy sucks. So, like, and Hunter just, like, started rough and had bad hair for a while, you know, like.
Yeah.
So.
Did his hair get better or did we get used to it?
I don't know.
I don't think it got any better.
I don't think it was as, like, pronounced as, like, in that first episode. It was bad. It was like they actively, like, they spent like 3 hours giving him hockey hair, you know, like it's just like this perfectly sculpted bad hair. And then I think by it, they just stopped like doing as much to it. And so it's just like regular hockey hair from like a hat or a helmet or whatever. And it just like worked better on him. But I don't know. Maybe we just got used to it. We were like, it's just Hunter's hair, whatever.
Yeah. All right.
So who's next?
So going next with 9 points is a tie between Lothor, Vexicus, and Kelly.
Okay.
Which I really love that all three of them got the exact same points.
Yeah. Vexicus got 9 points?
Yeah, I was shocked too.
He was really cool until he went out like a punk.
Well, see, but I don't think he was, because at first he was cool, and then he was pretty lame by just like doing nothing, and then he was cool, and then he went out like a punk.
I think this is the opposite camp situation in that he was never the lamest.
That, yeah, you know, that might be it. Yeah,
yeah. What Jake described, I think, was pretty much how the points went. That when he first showed up, he got a bunch of points for like his introduction episode. Then he didn't do anything for a long time, or he got a negative or whatever. And then he did really cool stuff against, you know, Zergain and Motodrome. And then he went out like a punk, and I think he got negative points from there. So, yeah.
Yeah, then he turned into a dink, and he's like, now I'm big, and I'll reveal my plan. Oh, I'm dead. Beans. He's like, okay. And then Kelly, you know, she was in, like, 5 episodes, yep. I feel like. I feel like I started saying this in an episode recently, but then because of how we are, I never concluded the thought, but I was looking at the, like, her episode appearances, and it said she was only in like 13 on Ranger Wiki, which is bananas for the impression that she left. Also, it did not have the wild wipeout because I think it counted Evil Kelly as a different character, because Ranger Wiki is an inherently flawed website.
It's pretty bad. And I feel like a lot, like at least half of those 13 appearances are someone being like, hey Kelly, where's Dustin? Oh, he's in the back. And then that's a wrap on Kelly for the episode.
Or Kelly being like, hey, can you lock up? And then she walks away, you know? But when she's there, boy, is she great.
Yeah. You all gave her a best or an MVP, in 6 episodes.
Yeah, so, like, according to Ranger Wiki, half of her episodes.
Which is the same number of episodes that you gave a best or worst or MVP to Blake and Mara. Yeah.
So, Kelly's good. Kelly should have been more Kelly.
Yeah.
Ninja Storm Part 2, more Kelly.
Yes.
All right. Now, with more Kelly.
All right, that is it on the support and villain characters.
Okay,
which means that Zergain and Shimazu never got anything. They were never the best. Really? They were never the worst. They never got an MVP. Which I was surprised when I got to the end. I was like, oh wait,
I feel like we would have worsted Zergain. Maybe it might have just been one of those situations where he was second worst thing, you know.
It could also be user error where I just messed up.
I mean,
no, I don't
maybe,
think so. I feel like Zergain was just bad enough that he wasn't the worst ever.
Yeah, I will say, if anybody is a total nerd and wants to look at this database and go through it, and you find that I've made a mistake somewhere, please tell me and I will correct it.
I'm also not shocked that Shimazu got nothing, because he left probably the least
was
impression.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why he wasn't just a monster of the week.
I don't know why.
He should have just been a monster of the week, because he showed up. I mean, he did show up a couple more times, but I don't, aside from like one time in Sentai footage, I don't know how many of it was like footage they had to use to like warrant keeping Shimazu around. So
because it was just to give Vexicus. Just to give him like a buddy to lurch around with for a couple episodes.
There needed to be a skull to his bulk, you know. But yeah, I don't know.
Speaking of my past mistakes, I do need to give a shout out to Sestro, who has been long ignored. He actually got an MVP way back in Zio.
Okay.
And I completely like totally blanked out on it. So he actually has 2 points on like my list of Rangers.
Wait, Sestro, the alien Ranger?
The alien Ranger.
Got an MVP in Zio?
Yes.
Because he came to help Billy.
Yeah.
And I remember him coming back, but in a Zio episode, Sestro was the most valuable player.
Sestro.
Yep. And
that
I completely
seems like
forgot.
That's a podcast host error.
That seems like that's user error on the other side of the show.
Okay, well, you all can go back and change it if you want to.
No. on our second lap, we'll fix it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do it again on lap two in, what did you say, 2026? We'll get to Dino Fury. Who knows?
Who knows how much we'll have to go after that?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So, our fourth ranked Ranger with 10 points is Blake, which is what I would have expected.
Sure.
Then
a solid number four.
Yeah. Then jumping up 16 points for third place is Dustin.
That's surprising.
That is surprising.
I think part of the context for this is that second place was Shane with 19 points, which is only 3 above what Dustin got. And Shane gets the Red Ranger bump.
He does. That is true. And that's so I guess with that considered, that's not like terribly higher. I guess that would about equal out to what the numbers are, because he didn't particularly use the Red Ranger bump as much as some other seasons, which I appreciate about Shane, is that he wasn't like, this is Shane time now.
Yeah.
He did get a cool muscle butt suit and did some stuff. But for the most part, like we talked about, like he wasn't the leader. Like there was no leader of this team.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense. So any fun facts about our boy Waldo?
I think a lot of this was Glenn Miller got MVP quite... he got it at least 2 or 3 times, so that was definitely a big factor for it.
Yeah, that guy rules. So,
I mean, if he had been the Red Ranger, then I think he would have gotten like way more than 19 points, because that would have been combining the Red Ranger bump with a very good actor, you know, doing good character stuff.
Yeah. Now I wonder what like Glenn McMillan would have done with Shane, because he wouldn't have. Like obviously been like the same goofy like Dustin, but he, like the acting caliber, I think would have just been a little higher. Like no, you know, no shade on Pua. He did, you know, he was very good as Shane. But like I'm just wondering like what that would have been like, because they wouldn't have done another goofy, because this is like they did like 2 kind of goofy Red Rangers in a row, so I don't think they would have done that. But
Yep.
Something to think. What could have been? TV tropes. What could have been?
And then obviously first place is Tori, which, you know,
not surprised even a little bit.
I thought it was going to be Mara from that one sequence where she was a Pink Ranger for a second.
No, that did not count. there'll be a future Dream Sequence Ranger. That person will also not be counted in the rankings. I'm sorry to all the listeners that are waiting for it.
Okay, I'm excited. hey, can you just real quick give everybody the number of points Tori had acquired this season?
All right, so again, saying Shane in second place got 19 points, and then first place for Tori is 32.
That's twice as many as Glenn McMillan got. It's twice as many as Dustin. Tori deserved better. She had 3 lines in the last episode. And they were like, hey, Shane, come on. Like, and that was it.
Yes. I agree with you.
Oh, never going to stop being upset about that. But yeah, Tori rules.
Yes, Tori rules. She was the default MVP. I think. And then if it was an episode where she just absolutely didn't do anything, I think you lean towards Dustin.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was great. That's why I picked a Tori episode as my guest episode.
Yeah, she's extremely good. I have a question. I don't know if it is like an easily pulled up thing, but 32 points seems like a lot. Do you don't have like a list of your own?
I could do it very quickly, but I really should just have a list of how many points each ranger got in a specific season. But 32 is pretty typical for the highest ranking ranger.
Okay. So it's not like everyone's sitting around like 25, you know, 30-ish, and she's like, no, I am mathematically the best ranger because I have 32 points.
Yeah, sorry. I can't remember. I know 32 is high. But yeah, I straight up can't remember. Even though you guys ask me this like almost every time we do this, it's just not. I don't think about it.
One of these seasons, you're not gonna give yourself more work to do, and you'll be able to have time to sort all the Rangers by how much points they have acquired total.
I feel like I had it one time, and maybe I just deleted it.
I don't know, Benny. You are the keeper of the script keeper of the list. So, but yeah, 32 seems very impressive and not at all shocking, because I'm gonna be thinking about how cool Tori is for a long time. So,
okay, I know why 32 is in my head. That's because that's how many Wes and Jin got.
So that's a lot then. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really high. It's definitely very high. Because I was glancing through and I think like some seasons the highest was like 20.
Yeah, I think mostly it's like the spread, like the first to second place spread is 11 points. So, or no, more than that. This is why I don't do the by numbers.
What was last? What was Taylor's spread? Like 100 points?
Taylor, it looks like she got 21. Is my math correct?
So that's like a lot. Lot more than
I guess I lied when I said 32 is pretty typical. I think 32 is extremely high. So she got 21. She got 21, and then Alyssa got 15. So that's only like a 6-point spread versus this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were a few episodes where Taylor wasn't allowed to speak as well.
Yeah, they put Taylor in a corner and they were like, "Shut up, Taylor. This is coal time now." Dope.
Yeah.
Good. Good job, Sally Martin, Tori Hanton, Sally Martin. That's the order.
Yes. Yes. Sally Martin got an MVP one time.
Nice.
In the same episode that Tori got an MVP.
Which episode was that? That was Beauty and the Beach. Oh, so like, yeah.
And I technically only gave Tori 2 in that. Like, I didn't give her. Okay. I didn't give her 4 points for getting both MVPs.
She should have more. You're saying
so she could technically have 34, but I don't feel like that genuinely. I don't feel like she should be above Wes and Jen.
I don't think so.
With them is perfectly fine. But I
again,
you can't start bringing a bias into the numbers, Benny.
We've already done that with Trey. He has negative 12 points officially. Well,
Trey is a fart turned into 3 people, so I don't.
he's 3 farts in a trench coat. Pretending to be human. But I think the weirdest part about her getting just so much higher is that, like, if you look at the MVPs and the best, like, everything else is so even because, like, all the Rangers are, like, really good. And then she's like, yeah, but one was even better than that, you know. So good job. I'm happy for her.
And honestly, there's a little bit of bias towards her for being the only girl and how annoying that is with Power Rangers.
It's weird. Like, at this point, it's like we've done 11 seasons and it's weird. And then I know that, like, Dino Charge has, like, starts out with one and has a 2 by the end of it, and they've got like 55 Rangers or whatever, and like, that's weird.
It's very annoying. Do you want me to tell you seasons that only have one woman ranger.
Is it, does Jungle Fury? I know that's another three-person team.
Yeah, Jungle Fury. And again, that's a ranger that I really like. Dino Thunder. So next season.
Next season? Yeah, okay, yeah. Weird. That's them being like, only boys watch the show. And it's like, that is... It's so wrong.
Weird how the first time this happened was when Disney took the wheel.
Right?
Yeah. And I guess that's actually... That's the only season.
But it...
What about RPM? I don't know. I know this. I know that it starts as a three person, but I don't know.
It is different.
Okay. Okay. Asked and answered.
I'm worried about if it happens in Dino Thunder. That's what you just said, right? That Dino Thunder is also another one girl team.
Yes.
I'm worried that because Tori was the only girl on her team, but she was also like a really big part of the season.
Yeah.
But Tommy comes back in Dino Thunder, and so I'm really worried that most of these other Rangers are going to get lost in the shuffle, which is 51 cards are Tommy Oliver, and one card is the rest of them.
Is everybody else? Yeah, I'm worried everybody else is going to get, like, every single character who's not Tommy is going to get, like, lost in the shuffle at some point. I don't think they'll start that way, but, like, they have Tommy back, so, like, clearly they're going to lean into it.
Stay
tuned. Is that a face that you trying to figure out what to say about it?
I guess, honestly, I think Dino Thunder is going to be really similar to Ninja Storm.
Okay.
I guess it is before the big, like, resurgence of Power Rangers in the pop culture zeitgeist. So,
well, it's before that. It's also before, like, nostalgia became, like, a transferable disease. Like, like you can pinpoint when, like, nostalgia became a poison, basically, because, like, if you look at, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, everything's on, like, a 30-year cycle, right? And then, like, 80s nostalgia was super big last decade, you know, and then, like, that was also creeping into 90s nostalgia. But, like, if you look at the amount of, like, remakes and reboots compared to original movies made, like, it's bananas. And I think Power Rangers, for the most part, up until Saban got it back, like, they didn't really trade on it. Because if you think about, like when we first started, we were like, yeah, Power Rangers DVDs just came out for the first time ever, you know? So, like, that's when things they became more accessible. And so now people are like, and then obviously someone in marketing was like, hey, all the people who were 5 years old in 1993 now have expendable income. Joke's on you. No, I don't. But, like, everything like that, you know, just kind of all conglomerates to them being like, here is the most important Power Ranger of all time, Tommy Oliver. And so every time we get a chance to bring him back, we're going to, because that will put butts in seats because of people who remember seeing Tommy Oliver. But then you watch, like, you know, Megaforce and you see Tommy Oliver and you're like, this show is for babies. I did like Tommy when I was a baby, but this show is also extremely for babies. So, like, maybe it's not one to one, like, you know, like they want it to be.
Stay tuned.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited. I've seen pictures of Kira. I've seen little video clips of her when we were trying to figure out what their morphers were. And I don't know if she's going to run away with it like Tori did, but, like, I got to type, stay tuned.
Yes.
Also, before we have to reorder some of our Rangers. Is this a good time, or should we just, like, some things that stick out to us on this, on the list, like on the best and worst? Do you want to do that first?
Yeah, I'm done with all of my notes, so we can just kind of glance through the Ninja Storm tab and see what jumps out at y'all.
Okay, I am looking at. So the things that are in orange, are those just, like, reminders for you to talk about?
Yes, those were the episodes that I scored okay, or I rated okay, but ended up falling very differently in your rankings. That's why those are okay. Orange. Everything else is the Rangers color.
Okay. What extremely teenager Tori was from Thunder in Paradise Part 1, Dirt Bike Nights. I wish I could remember any of these, but again, my brain is a leaky drain pipe, and I don't remember anything in between episodes. Anything jump out to you, Josh, that you want to touch on?
Not really specifically. There's nothing that I didn't talk about as we were going through the list, really. I don't think that I would... That's jumping out at me now.
I'm looking through the notes right now, and here's one that I like. This is, I'm assuming, Benny, this is your note.
Yeah.
I still don't know what butt rock is, but the fact that I like Power Man 5000 makes me nervous.
That's a little bit butt rock.
That's butt rock. So butt rock, it's hard to explain butt rock. Butt rock is more of a feeling than a thing you explain.
Yeah, also, I think I'm a pretty big butt rock fan, so.
Josh is a butt rock enthusiast. Yeah. I've been to a butt rock concert with Josh before. Because like, I don't think Alter Bridge is butt rock, but everybody else at that show was.
Emphatic was definitely butt
Emphatic
rock.
Is extremely butt rock.
Theory of a Dead Man is like right on the line.
Yeah, it's just that like that like hard like chugga chugga chugga.
We left before they came on.
Yeah, we left as soon as Alter Bridge was done. Getting up there was hard enough with Tony on the walker.
Yeah.
Was that at Hampton?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't remember what that place was. Not super handicap accessible.
Yeah, some kind of casino ballroom or something.
Yeah, it was a mess. It was fun, though. It was a good show.
Yeah.
Despite Emphatic being, I would say, a bad band. not good at music, their chosen profession. Let's see. Looking at some other notes. Alternate title. What to say?
Wait, where are you seeing these notes? Because I clicked on the notes tab and I just have like a list of episodes and morph calls.
Oh no, it's under Ninja Storm. It's okay. Like it's one of the things
column.
At the top. Is it's,
the yeah. column notes, not the column tab of notes.
I see.
Yeah, no. What is "Don't be nakey in the laundromat"?
That was a hilarious thing that you all said for whatever reason, and it made me crack up, so I had to write it down, mostly so we would talk about it now.
I agree.
Hang on.
That you should not be naked in a laundromat.
No, if laundromats are public places, please put your clothes on. It probably had something to do with, like, I don't know, you had to wash the clothes you were wearing for some reason. I do have a question, though.
That's probably when they had to... when Mario and Capri had to wash the Kelzak's
skin,
and they were just standing there watching them shivering naked, which is really weird.
There's a second half to this Power Man 5000 note that I want to ask a question. That says, also, Josh doesn't recognize the Pacific Ocean. I've never seen it in person, so how am I supposed to know what one body of water looks like as opposed to another?
Okay, so... It zooms out on Shane from this island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It zooms all the way out, so you see just the edges of the continents. So, like, if you'd seen a map that had centered on the Pacific Ocean...
I've only seen maps with America in the center.
Right.
Where America's twice the size of Africa.
Yeah, and Europe is split in half on different sides of the map.
Yeah, so I think you said, like... What water world are they on? And I'm like, they're on Earth. That's which water world they're on. Because despite its name, Earth is a water world.
I mean, yes, that's on you, Josh. But also, I don't think I provided any backup to that because no. I am the absolute worst at geography. I think I've mentioned on the show that if I mentally picture a map of the United States, the Dakotas are on the other side of the Great Lakes. I don't know why. It's a bad mental map. I can't get anywhere. But I probably just like left you out to dry on that one.
Like we all have our things that are interesting to me. I enjoy geography, so like seeing a map of the Pacific Ocean would like trigger in my head. I don't know what butt rock is. I don't know any of the bands or the songs you all just mentioned. We all have different things that we are good at, and I just found it really funny because you were asking what water world is this.
There's only one dry land in Waterworld too, Josh, you rube. It was called Dryland, and it was the top of Mount Everest because it was tall enough that the water hadn't got up there.
I remember two things about Waterworld.
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yeah, guess.
He drinks his pee.
I didn't remember that.
Okay. Tina Majorino, as a baby, has a tattoo on her back.
No.
All right, I am out of ideas.
Dirt is the most valuable thing, and, yep. and Kevin Costner can get it because he has gills behind his ears.
Yeah, he's a mutant, so he can swim all the way down and get new buckets of fresh dirt. He did also drink his pee. It's like the first thing that happened is he peed in a thing, it purified it, and then he drank it.
Mm.
So Waterworld's a good movie, actually, despite how it sounds when you talk about literally any part of it. Hey, Tony Hawk got a best. That guy rules. I just started playing Tony Hawk, and that game is hard.
Oh, nice.
I'm not as...
Who's your main?
So currently, Tony Hawk, because I haven't figured out how to change characters yet. You so I'm just kind of me and the Hawkman rolling around.
It's like a secret, but like on the main menu, I think you hit triangle, and it pulls up the list of skaters.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to try it with an Xbox controller. I'm assuming it'll
be the same. Whatever the top button is on that.
The grind button.
Yeah.
also... This could be its own entire bonus episode, so I'm gonna save it. But boy, 2 minutes is not enough time to do basically anything in any given level for me.
No.
It's really hard to get things done in that game. So, Benny, now do you want to mediate us fighting about which Rangers, where Rangers should go?
Yeah, sure. Let's do this.
All right. Maybe this will be a nice, amiable...
I think it'll be a little more... friendly. I don't really remember being on each other's throats until we got near the top last time, but
yeah, and I don't know any, I mean, like, if like the top is like, I don't know if that's a fight I'm willing, like, Caron's all the way down to number 17.
I know,
which
we,
seems
we had a back
wild.
And forth about Adam or Kat, and I just you ended up budging where I wouldn't, so
yeah, I mean, I because I also like Adam, I think I like Adam more than you like Kat, so meeting in the middle, I like, I'm willing to
I think
budge
that's
a little
fair.
Bit.
Because I don't remember what my individual list was, but I don't think Kat.
No,
was
he,
was
I just
even...
refused to have her be any less than second place.
Yeah, I don't
this
even
is
know
also
she
my
was
list.
Top 10, so.
All right. So I think the first person we need to move, and did I send it to the right email? You do have the list,
yes,
Benny?
Yes, I have the list.
Okay. First person we need to change is Billy.
Yeah.
Billy too low. I think we were just being mean at Billy.
We were getting all the Billy fans, and most specifically Alan. We were getting.
I think
Alan.
We were just trying to get Alan, and Billy suffered for it.
I do think Billy should be at least above Lucas.
I also think that I was thinking like between Cassie and Dana.
Yeah,
like up at number 20. Because I feel like that's... Because, like...
Cassie, maybe there's a debate there, but he does not top Ashley, I don't think.
No, he did not throw a single elbow drop or suplex at anyone,
or
as far as I can remember. Exactly. Or, like, fix a car. Like, I mean, he did invent a car that could travel, it could fly and go at supersonic speeds. But...
Yeah, that's... We gave him a lot of stuff for being, like, a bad Power Ranger.
Yeah,
I think a lot
the
of that
character
was like,
of Billy, I think, is
a lot of that was
better
like he
than...
doesn't fight good. He's kind of a bumbling idiot, but he's like super smart. But he did make a lot of weapons for them that actually got them the win in the end.
That is true.
And being a Power Ranger is more than punching good. So
yeah. So do you think? But between Ashley and Cassie, or between Cassie and Dana?
Cassie's a hard one because I really like Cassie a lot.
I like Cassie a lot, too.
But she kind of didn't have a lot to do in space specifically. I feel like she was just kind of like the other girl, and Ashley got a lot of the story because she had the romance with Andros.
Yeah. Right, and like most of her, I mean, she does like a lot of good moments, but like I feel like a lot of it was more isolated than like...
And she's tied to the Phantom Ranger.
And that's just a bummer. That's not her fault. That's a Phantom Ranger's fault.
So, yeah, I can put Billy above Cassie.
Okay. All right. So.
Phantom Ranger not appearing on this list.
Phantom Ranger is not technically a Power Ranger.
Yeah. Blue Centurion is also not on the list for the same reason.
Yeah. Or Ninjor, you know, because they're like, they're like six Rangers, but they're like a weird thing. I feel like they would. Phantom Ranger would do very poorly, but everybody else, I think, would do medium to good. So, coming in. Number 19, some recompense for dunking on him for so long. All right, anybody else? I know that was the big one. I don't know if anybody else jump out to you. Or Benny, anybody else that you feel like is weirdly listed?
Maya. She is 44 right now, below Joel, which is criminal. She was the highest ranked in her season. I know.
Was she?
I know that that's not saying a lot.
No. The shiniest turd is still a turd sometimes, Benny.
But she fought really well. And the worst thing was that she could smell or hear through space. But like
she heard through space.
She is definitely better than where she is right now. She should be above Trip, who's at 40.
But I don't know about above Trip. But I could agree that she is better than Merrick.
Yeah, okay. All right. So Maya, the new number 41.
Yeah, because that's the one I always surprise you all when I remind you that, like, she got a lot of MVPs and bests.
Yeah, she did. It's weird.
She did fight really good.
She did. And that usually, like, counts for a lot for us. But I guess we're just like, Lost Galaxy as a whole, whatever.
Okay.
She also was the star of the best episode of the season, I love my big brass dad.
Yeah.
Loyax. Anybody jumping at you?
Not really. I think Billy was the major.
I think by moving thing, Billy, it kind of
evened everyone fixes, out.
Yeah. I know we talked about Carlos, but the more I think about Carlos, the more I think he's in the right place.
Yeah.
Cause like,
yeah, because I remember we're like, he's a little low, and then immediately we're like, well, he did like yell at a little girl and was kind of a shit. So
and like also like just in most of his episodes, like it just wasn't great. And I also like, and this is not, I don't want to like dunk on like Roger Velasco, the actor, but like not the best, you know, like not the best actor of the bunch, I would say, not the worst, certainly.
Yeah, that can be overcome though, because TJ. Also not a super great actor.
TJ, not the solidest actor, but like a dope dude.
Yeah.
Like a real good dude. Yeah, I think that's actually pretty good. Anybody else, Benny, that sticks out to you aside from Maya?
No.
Yeah, like our top 10 from or I guess I'll do top 11. Or I'll do top no, I'll just do the rest of them because like
just do everyone above Tori.
Everybody above Tori. So 13 is Eric, who rules. 12 is Tommy, who is great. I mean, he's a little oversaturated, but that's mostly a meta thing than a inside thing. Cause like Tommy was still really good for a lot of the time he was there. Also like, I think a lot of the like legacy puts on that and that like without Tommy, the Green Ranger, we would not have a second season of Power Rangers, you know? So, that I think gives him some points. Above that is Taylor. Literally the best thing about Wild Force in a walk. Then Zach, Trini, Kim, TJ, Wes, Carter, Jen, Jason, Kat, Adam, which is like a murderer's row of like dope Power Rangers. All of them are great. They're all very good. I do feel a little bit bad that Billy was so far away from his friends, but now he's closer, you know?
He's a little closer. He's only 7 away from Tommy now. So
yeah, so you know, that's it. I would like, I think if anybody were to come back for a whole season, I would want it to be Billy. I would love mentor Billy, like full-on mentor Billy. I think that would be amazing. But I think that's all we got. We are at about an hour and a half, so
yep,
pretty good time to wrap up. Benny, thank you very much for coming by.
It's always fun. This is probably one of the most like stable things in my life over the last couple of years. And looking forward that like I still have at minimum 6 more years of focusing on listening to you all. I'm excited about it.
It's nice. I always love seeing the like the list. I'm just a fan of like lists and seeing things that I've said written down by somebody else. I just think that's like, it just always gives my ego a nice kick. But yeah, so Benny, where can people find you online should you wish to be found?
I'm gonna plug my Instagram, which is the same as my Twitter. It's Ben Active, B-E-N-N Active. I've recently gotten into oil painting, so you can see my finished products and then kind of the steps I take to get to them, which has been a fun hobby to pick up during, you know, these times.
Unprecedented times.
These trying times.
As Taco Bell told me in an email.
I can't believe we're still getting that. Like, come on.
Yeah, man. I think we're on the verge of them being explicitly precedented.
It's just normal times now.
just this is just kind of how times are. Anyway, I'm very much enjoying all of your oil paintings. Whenever you post them on Twitter, I gotta follow you on Instagram, a place I am all the time, but I never post on it. And when people follow me, I'm like, why? Why are you here? Unless you know me personally, like, I'm not doing anything special on Instagram. So that's gonna do it for us for today. You know the places you can find us. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. There's a Discord link there. You gotta look at the tags, find the tag Discord, and you can get access to it. And you can come hang out on the Discord, which is a bunch of cool folks. What was it we were talking about? No, we were figuring out the Gem Rangers today, or last night and today. So that's been pretty fun. Which is basically what, I guess, Kiri Major is.
Yeah.
Is there like their gems? So that's pretty dope. Good job, us. So we will see you. I don't know what we're doing next week. I think we're at least going to have one guest on. We're going to try to get more, but I think the timing is a little weird. So it might just be Riley. So maybe instead of doing the idea I had, we will do a different idea that would more fit having only three people. Tune in next week for that. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Also, I slept like garbage last night, so that's the kind of energy I'm going to bring to this one. I'm going to try to fake it. We'll see what happens.